Good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along with Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey. Also helping from behind the scenes, as always, this weekend, or tonight, is Jenny James and Kramer Sansone. And Matt Trenton, basketball's regular season came to a close this past week. The MIAA postseason tournament's already underway down in Kansas City. And as far as the spring sports teams, they're just trying to get in games and matches any way they can right now.
You know, I feel like it was about a year ago at this time that you and I were walking in downtown Kansas City, the Indian Municipal Auditorium, and it was a really beautiful day, and sun's out, and everything's nice. And now as we get the conference tournament started this week, we might get up into the low 40s for it. So it's a little bit different this time of year, but hoping for a lot of good things for the Bearcats down in Kansas City. And yeah, you're right, we're supposed to have some home games here for Northwest Missouri State baseball this week, and hoping softball can get home before long as well. But the cold temperature, the snow, not allowing that to happen. So they're finding their way through and hoping to get some wins down south.
Yeah, for the baseball team, they've moved on down to play in Bolivar tomorrow and the next day, trying to get in some games with Southwest Baptist that were originally scheduled for the weekend. And in softball, they've moved up things a couple days, and their matchups in Oklahoma, trying to beat some weather that's expected to come in through the weekend. So trying to beat the weatherman is the big thing right now for those two teams.
Yeah, I know Coach Anderson, especially on the softball side, they were hoping to get in quite a few more games these past couple weekends to have themselves kind of rounded into shape for the conference slate to get started, as they're taking on Central Oklahoma Thursday, Northeastern State on Friday. Didn't quite get quite as many as they had hoped for, but got to keep on going and keep on playing, so hopefully they can make the most of that. But also very fluid with the changes as well. We're hoping to have them in here for the show here on this Wednesday evening, but then with the changes, they have to head down south. So couldn't get them in this week, but hopefully next week we'll get them in and talk about some nicer weather.
And for tennis, they've moved indoors. They were in Liberty today playing against William Jewell. They came up with a couple 7-0 wins in those matches. As Coach Mark Rosewell's teams got back on the winning track this afternoon, they've got some other matches coming up, just playing some indoor matches right now wherever they can find an indoor court.
Yeah, and that's really kind of nice. You have that option. You can get into some places like that. Tough weekend last weekend whenever you take on some really good teams like Drury and Indianapolis and kind of tank your lumps there. But a chance to kind of, I guess, after taking on Maryville and getting a couple wins up in Iowa a couple weeks ago, going down south, taking on some really good teams, kind of measuring at that competition and getting things rolling from there, and seeing them sweep William Jewell, really both teams, a good stepping stone for Coach Roswell's team here early on.
And I think that's the wins number 1,091 and 92 today. So the count is on for his next goal. He was asking, Colin, about what his totals were. So he's kind of keeping an eye on that right now.
Well, we were talking last week, and he's what? Over 550 games, over 500 for his career, so he's doing all right for himself.
Not too bad. As another person doing all right for himself, Ben McCollum, another conference regular season title. Of course, that was wrapped up before we talked on the last show, but they got the regular season finished up, but the All-MIAA announcements came out, and a clean sweep on the specialty awards for Northwest Missouri State.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because I haven't been doing this long enough to kind of sit back and remember, but for a team to sweep all four awards from the Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year, that doesn't happen very often at all. So that's really big for this this program to be able to step up and earn that recognition. A lot of really good teams, players, coaches from around this conference, and to see Northwest Missouri State step up 29-0 through the regular season. 19 wins for just the third time in conference history. The first time going undefeated since 67, whenever Missouri State was 10-0 in the conference. They did a lot of great things this year, and so it's really well-deserved recognition, but I know that's something Coach McCollum's kind of wanted to push to the side because they obviously have bigger goals in mind.
They've kind of had a lock on that Player of the Year award the last few years. Justin Pitts the last 3 years, and then this year Joy Witta steps up and claims that particular award. So congratulations to Joy there, and Coach McCollum, Coach of the Year once again.
Yes, it's kind of becoming the Northwest Player of the Year award. I was looking at it last night, and my wife's like, I'm surprised Justin didn't win this 4 years in a row. I'm like, we all kind of were. But yeah, Northwest is keeping it rolling, and it's been a lot of fun to see Joey, how he's grown from last year, how he's a guy that could step up, knock down some big shots. It was kind of feeling his way through that Northwest program and got along great with the teammates, but really took on a lot bigger role this year with this team of, if you need a go-to guy, Joey Wittes will step up and be that for you there. So he's really been a lot of fun to watch, and all these guys really growing throughout the season.
We can talk about Justin. I think he got the freshman of the year award then. So we got another guy who can maybe make that line coming through with Trevor Hutchins, who gets the freshman of the year award.
Yeah, Trevor, big shoes to fill there as he keeps on going. Of course, he knew that already, but I think it was probably a relatively tight race as the season went on as far as that freshman of the year, because I think his own teammate, Diego Bernard, stepping up there and had a chance to steal a few votes. But Trevor, solid from that opening game against Northern State, whenever they won that 72-70 in overtime in St. Joseph, really made some big shots that night, continued to really put up big numbers throughout the season. Diego played well throughout the year, but really came on stronger offensively as the season went on and played really well for him. So quite a few young guards in this basketball team. Xavier Rhodes, I mean, he got sparing minutes throughout the season, but he's obviously stepping up and a guy that can really do some damage to the MIAA as his career goes on. So it's going to be a fun group to watch.
And Ryan Hawkins also getting the Defensive Player of the Year award. And you look at hockey, just does a lot of things both on offense and defense, but led the league in steals, also among the leaders in rebounds, block shots. He just kind of does it all for Northwest.
Yeah, and a guy with a constant motor, it just never stops. He keeps on going. And the great part about watching a guy like Ryan Hawkins is, he went through a shooting slump there mid-season to where, whether it was legs going out or just a slight tweak here or there, shots just weren't quite falling for him. Maybe at times he got a little frustrated on the offensive end, but you never saw that reflected on the defensive side as he continued to pull down tons of rebounds, was very active with his hands. Like you said, led the league in steals. I believe he also led the league in defensive rebounds, so he really shut down a lot of possessions for teams throughout the season. And fun to see a guy like that. He's only a sophomore. He clearly loves playing basketball. And you think back, the first time I saw Ryan Hawkins play live in a game, he's playing at Cameron Indoor Stadium against Duke University, came out and drained a few three-pointers and just not a care in the world. And he kind of knew at that point that this guy was meant for the big stage. So really excited to see what he can do throughout the MIAA tournament and beyond.
And the all-conference team, not only those special recognitions, but then you take a look at the rest of the starting five, Diego, that you mentioned, and also Ryan Welty, honorable mention on the all-conference squad. So all the starters get a chance to get recognized at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something that doesn't always happen either. And we talked a little bit during the season that Ryan Welty's a guy that kind of will fly under the radar. Maybe for a coaching staff that's going to sit down and watch tape, he won't. But the general public that'll just sit down and watch a game, I think he quietly goes about his business and does it very well. He came on strong and knocked down some big shots with his team down the stretch. Went 4-6 from three-point range with 14 points and 6 rebounds in that final win of the regular season against Washburn. But knocks down the shots that he needs to, but also he'll kind of a lockdown defender on the other side, too. If there's a big score or someone he has to step out and guard, always up for the challenge. We saw that quite a few times here throughout the year. The ones that come to my mind right off the bat were, Donovan Franklin for Pittsburgh State, and then turning around getting Elijah Clark from Missouri Southern, and, two of the better scorers in the league, a couple guys that can shoot that are quick, and he stepped out and guarded them and played well, and looking forward to that carrying over. And, just last year, he was all MIAA tournament team. In Kansas City with Justin Pitts and 21 points in the championship game, and really did a lot for Northwest after Justin went down with an injury to help them get over the hump and win that conference tournament. Wouldn't be surprised if you get into a situation where he knocks down some big ones this weekend as well.
Yeah, he's been playing very good basketball. And then when you look at everything as a team, of course, a lot's been already made about 6 straight MIAA regular season conference titles, something that no other team in the MIAA has done. And they also have a chance to do something else that no other MIAA team has done. They've won 3 straight tournament titles, and 4 would be 4 in a row, something no other team in the conference has done as well.
Yeah, and it's Coach McCollum talks a lot about how hard it is to win that regular season conference title because it's so long. It talks a lot about the longevity of a basketball team to be able to go through and win night in, night out in a conference season like this, especially when you're Northwest and the target that the Bearcats have on their backs. But it also says something for a team that can get on a roll and stay on a roll there throughout the tournament time. And you see Northwest has done that the last 3 years in a row. And at PEC 16-17, it carried on through the region and on to the Elite Eight as well. So obviously, seeing the way they shoot, they're very capable of getting on a roll and just going. Would love to see that carry over. And And then these MIAA record books are just littered with everything Northwest Missouri State from here on out. So it's been a lot of fun to see what they've done and what they can still do.
Well, the tournament got underway this afternoon down at Municipal Auditorium. A couple games on the men's bracket already completed. And for the Bearcats, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, they'll play Emporia State, which is the number 8 seed, as they defeat the 9 seed Northeastern State. And close one, 72-68, as Emporia had to come back from a double-digit deficit to pick up the win and face the Bearcats. And then a game that just concluded in the last hour or so that saw Southwest Baptist, the number 10 seed, defeat the number 7 seed in Lindenwood, and a close one, 76-75. So the higher seeds have been falling this afternoon, but I think really when you get at that point, the way this conference is shaking up, really anybody can beat anybody for the most part, especially at those particular seeds. So I don't know how much that really matters going in.
Well, yeah, you're right. And the way the MIAA's kind of beat up on itself this season, that says a lot about, too, about you can't really expect anything out of the seedings, I guess, going into the tournament here. But maybe it's a good thing that we already have one upset, the 10 getting beat by the 7 there. Earlier today with Lindenwood going down, so I don't know. Maybe that doesn't mean anything. It's just all in my head. We'll ask Coach Meyer a little later on. I like to see one upset, so then the one top seed going in, you don't have to really worry about being the first upset of the tournament. But it'll be interesting seeing Northwest take on Emporia State as well. The Bearcats already beat the Hornets by 20 earlier this season here at home, so we know Emporia has some shooters and some guys that can really put up a lot of points. So, again, tournament setting, one team can get hot and just knock down everything and kind of changes the complexion of a game right away. So we'll see how the Bearcats come out and fare tomorrow.
As far as SBU, they move into a game tomorrow at 2:15 right after the Bearcat game, as they'll face number 2 seed Washburn tomorrow at 2:15. So that's the way the brackets look for tomorrow. Then the other couple of games in the men's bracket will be played on Friday, with 4 seed Fort A State facing number 5 seed Lincoln at noon. And then at 2:15, it's 3 seed Missouri Southern facing a number 6 seed at Pittsburgh State. So that's the way the rest of the brackets look there. As far as women's basketball, we'll be hearing from Austin Meyer here in just a little bit, but he had a heck of a way to finish up the regular season. Big win in Topeka against Washburn. First time the Bearcat women's program has defeated Washburn in Topeka since 1985, and I think we figured up that Mark Rosewarne and I are probably the only two people around that was at that particular game.
I think you're probably right.
So, and Wayne Winstead, head coach of the Bearcats at that time.
Yeah, I wasn't around for that one, to say the least. No, that's a huge way to go and end it. And, you know, it's not like Washburn was just coasting through, just saying, hey, let's get through this. We have the NCAA tournament spot locked up. We've, you know, won a conference championship. No, they're still fighting for seeding in the MIAA tournament and still trying to find their way into that central region bracket as well. And so for Northwest to come out and hit them in the mouth early on and go on to hang on for a 72-70 victory, says a lot to this conference about where this team is going, but also builds up a lot of confidence for where this team can be once they get around to next season. So a lot of recruits coming in, a lot of competition will be had in practice over the next quite a few months till we get to next basketball season. But now they kind of see where they can go from here. That's a big win for Northwest Missouri State, a big win on the road. Now it's just a matter of taking all that motivation and putting it to work in the offseason.
In addition to Austin tonight, we'll also talk about the Hughes Fieldhouse, as we have with us Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs, Greg Hansen, who's in charge of the Hughes Fieldhouse, and we'll be talking about how that's gone so far and what's coming up. Some exciting news that we'll be announcing tonight, and we'll get a chance to break that on one of the next big events coming up at the Hughes Fieldhouse. So that's all coming up this evening.
Excited to have Greg back. And the question everybody wants to know, what makes the Hughes Fieldhouse track so fast? Greg's here to answer it.
Yeah, he's got all the facts and figures, so we'll get that a little bit later on during the program. Reminder that support for the KXCV, KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports School, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Stay tuned when we come back. Head coach of the Northwest Women's Basketball Team, Austin Meyer, will join us. That's coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports School in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audiovisual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More information is available at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Craig Thompson of Albany.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back into Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. It's chatting about Northwest Missouri State basketball, joined by the head coach of the women's team, Austin Meyer. And, Coach, wrapping up year one, and really wrapping it up in big fashion there, a road win over Washburn 72-70 back on February 28th. But kind of a loaded question. Encapsulating the whole season, I mean, from about this time last year when you get the job to now, a lot of hurdles going through of your first season as a head coach. What's your reflection on this first season, and what do you learn to take forward?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. You know, we've already kind of created a list of things that were good, things that were not good, things that we want to adjust. Had a chance to meet with everybody individually on the team, and the message to them was, you know, we did some good things. We felt like we advanced the program from a culture standpoint, but at the end of the day, it wasn't good enough. It's not where we want the program to be. Like we talked about in our first meeting, you know, our goal for the program isn't to be good. We want it to be great. So as happy as we were with that win against Washburn, and obviously there were some things we did during the season, you know, four road wins was huge. So there were some things that we can hang our hat on, but, you know, the message was, we're excited about the future and who we have coming back, who we have coming in, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done to get it to where we want.
Whenever, Coach McCollum talks about his first couple seasons, leading the program, he said that first year he was trying to be Steve Tatmeyer. The second year he was trying to be David Moe. Then finally he just kind of got to being what a Ben McCollum team was going to be. Is there any finding an identity for yourself as a head coach?
Yeah, I think so. And he always had that message for me too. I think towards the end of the season, you know, just going in more relaxed into the locker room to start the game for me, because that's a little bit more my personality, where obviously you talk to him before the game, you never know.
It's tense.
You know, he's pretty tense. Pretty intense, depending on how many cups of coffee he has. But coaching my own way, and obviously there's a lot of things that we do similar to Coach Mack, but there's different ways to do them as well.
Going through, you talk about kind of being a little more relaxed and kind of being your mentality, your personality. It's just a matter of the girls and the women kind of getting used to you and your demeanor and what was to be expected, and that allowed you to loosen up a little bit as the season went on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said, it's a learning experience for everybody, and I think as the season went on, you know, I think we all got a little bit more comfortable on what to expect and, you know, how to attack things. And, you know, I think back to, obviously, we played with a lot of confidence in that Washburn game, which was great, and we were excited after the win. And then the party is like, man, why didn't we play with that much confidence the previous four or five games or whatever? But I look back to the Southern game that, you know, we lose on a three at the buzzer. We played great. We were into it defensively. We just really struggled to make shots. And, you know, that's a game that I look at that, you know, if you win that game, what does that do for your confidence moving forward? So, you don't want to look back too much because you can't do anything about it now. But just really excited about the things moving forward.
When you look at this season as a whole, sometimes for teams it's hard to get that momentum going with conference road games. All your conference wins coming on the road. Is there something specific about what that's about, of being on the road in the MIAA, and what kind of comes with the expectation of being at home?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could figure out what the deal was, because as hard as it is to, number one, win a college basketball game, but to win, you know, four games on the road when you only won five games the year before, is kind of crazy. But just we weren't able to get it done at home. Obviously, you know, I mean, we played good teams on the road, but we played some really good teams at home too. I think back to the first two games before break. If Kylie Coleman's in there, maybe it's a different story. We lost a couple close games at home, and kind of same thing I talked about with that Southern game. You win one of those two, or maybe you win both those close games, it probably changes things moving forward as far as confidence goes. But hopefully we can take that same mentality of coming and competing on the road and build on that for next year, and then find a way to just be more ready to go at home.
Well, looking back at that final regular season game, you go to Washburn, you get up 13-0 early on. It was 17-point lead there in that first half. Is there anything specific that goes out there and clicks? Everybody just kind of playing relaxed at that point?
Yeah, I think so. Part of that was, we said going in, the biggest thing was just to play hard, play together, and go compete. You had nothing to lose, and we spread it out. We got Kenny the ball in space, and then they denied her and took her away, and then we went to McConkey. So it was kind of like a little NBA game with the ISOs out there, but I thought we defended. We were really into the game, and I was just really proud of them, because in a game that at the end of the day didn't really mean anything from postseason standpoint, it could have been a game where you just who cares, but we came in and we played hard, and then to build a lead and then to have a team come back from 17 down, take a lead, another chance for you to just quit, and we didn't do it, and we fought and came out with the win.
I think that was one of the biggest takeaways that you kind of see from this one too, is four times Washburn, they fight back, they take a one possession lead in that final one with 1:03 left in the game. It'd be really easy to say, hey, we put up a good fight, let's just kind of pack it in, but then to keep coming back and finding a way to win that, the tenacity from that team.
Yeah, we were resilient in that game, and we talk about even we had a really good practice before. We knew it was our last practice, but kind of our motto had been just get better every day. So we knew we had 2 days left in the season. So, rather than worry about what had happened before or anything else, it was let's make the most of each day and go in there and compete and see what happens.
And fitting to see McConkey, the go-ahead shot with 40 seconds left, knocks down three free throws in the final 21 seconds. But the way that she played as the season went on, from first one off the bench to a starter to really growing as a scorer as the season went on as well, kind of fitting that she was the hero for that one.
Yeah, she played great. She's a worker. She works extremely hard. She was one of our hardest workers in preseason. And when we're bringing kids in, recruiting and all that stuff, that's the stuff you look for, because what kids are going to improve are the ones that want to be in the gym, that work hard. And she's great. She puts in the time. Coach Houston's put in a lot of time with her as well, and has improved her game. So, we're expecting big things from her moving forward.
And good to see the offensive output as well, the first one. The most points, I think, since late in January, and you do it without your starting point guard on the floor, too.
Yeah, we shot the ball pretty well, I feel like, the last few games. And we really struggled at times making shots. We're always trying to figure out, are we not doing enough game-like shots in practice? Are we shooting? I don't believe in shooting too much, but, we were there's days where our kids are in the gym. It wasn't a lack of being in the gym, and so we're just trying to figure things out. I think, towards the end of the season, we kind of lightened up on shoot-arounds. Everybody has their shoot-around guy or not shoot-around guy, whatever you are, and we kind of lightened up shoot-arounds, didn't do a lot of structured stuff in shoot-arounds, so I don't really know what what at the end of the day affects that stuff, but we shot it well, and that was huge for our team, because we didn't score it very well in the post, so we had to make shots, and we didn't have weren't able to significantly get paint offensively, where it was tough for us to create shots at times, so making shots through plays was pretty important.
We're talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball, head coach Austin Meyer, and you go into the offseason now. Still recruiting, still bringing in some players. You brought in quite a few good high school players already to this point. Is kind of the message going through the offseason is it's about competing, about making yourselves better, but also finding that right five for next year.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one of the messages we had individually was, we bring kids in. We bring the best kids that we can bring in, and we don't bring them in to say, we want this kid to play over the kid that's in our program. No, we want the kids in our program to improve as much as they can. We want to bring in, the best talent we can find and grow our program as a whole. So, one thing we didn't have this year is, we didn't have a lot of competition within, kids knew they were going to play. We only really played 9-10 kids, and, there's some that pretty much knew they were going to play 30 minutes. So, hopefully that's a little bit different, and that's a good thing. Because kids got to fight for their position, and that's only going to help our program.
Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach Austin Meyer joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. You have the time to stick around for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Men's basketball?
Sure.
All right. We'll get to that in just a moment. Before we go, we do have a prize to give away from the student body here at the KXCV Coaches Show. This one going to Lily Hansen. Lily, if you want to come up and find Kramer or Jenny, they will give you your prize from the student body. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Austin Meyer will chat about the men's basketball team as they're going for their 30th consecutive win coming up tomorrow afternoon. That's next on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for today's game comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings on South Main in Maryville. Locally owned and operated, Heinlein has been in the business for more than 50 years, offering mattresses and furniture from Ashley, Lazy Boy, England, Serta, and more. More information at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's game comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering auto glass, rock chip repair, and replacement glass for tractors, combines, or other agricultural equipment. More at 660-582-3131, in store at 5th and Buchanan, or at maryvilleglassandlock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Back at Carson's Sports Grill, Northwest Missouri State men's basketball taking on Emporia State tomorrow in the quarterfinal round of the MIAA tournament. Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach Austin Meyer joining us here. And Coach Meyer, an assistant for 10 years, is that right, in the men's basketball program?
Yeah, I lost track.
A long time. And wrapped up as the associate head coach under Ben McCollum last year, took over the women's job last offseason. But you know all these guys. You helped recruit, I'm going to say, 100% of these players to this
yep,
team.
Yep, yep.
So you know them pretty well, and you've got to see them throughout the season. What's the mindset? You're 29-0. You're 19-0. You feel the burden of not wanting to lose to get that first blemish, but at the same time, it's a long way to go.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, finishing out the regular season, but I always thought there's just a whole different excitement when you get to this time. MIAA tournament, Kansas City, obviously. They're going to host the region, so you know you're going to be playing in front of big-time atmosphere. So I just think there's rejuvenated feeling when you get to the postseason that and obviously, man, they're playing at as high a level as I've ever seen, and they're really good. They're fun to watch, so I'm just excited to watch this postseason.
So occasionally a loss can refocus a team, and 29-0, they haven't experienced that, but that Missouri West game, Coach McCollum talked afterward with John Coffey just about it's a chance to be in a big atmosphere, and he wanted to see them come out and play well, and he wasn't pleased with that, but in a way it could be good that they didn't play well, you still find a way to win. Is that something you can build on? Obviously, they played well against Washburn, but does that carry over to tournament time?
I think so. You know, I think Coach McCollum does such a great job at refocusing you, you know, after wins anyways, that I don't know. I guess if I'm a big believer in the loss helps you. That Western, it was a close game at home, good atmosphere. They struggled to make shots, and you got to be able to win those games because, like you said, if you get in one of those in the tournament and it's kind of foreign to you and you haven't been in those situations, it can be tough. But, you know, I just think with their so many guys that can score it, you're going to have to – I think going into the game, you're going to have to outscore them to win. But then you look at how they defend with Hawk out there and D.A. I mean, just – the amount of defenders they have, the system that Mac has them playing defensively, they're going to be a tough out.
Now, tomorrow, after we wrap up the basketball game on the Bearcat Radio Network, we're also going to be having a special broadcast from the Quaff, just kind of diving into the postseason as a whole, and you're going to stop by and chat with us for a bit on there. And one thing I think we'll touch on, but I'll talk about it now a little bit too, is as a former player or a GA or someone that was tied to the program back in like that first, second year, they put out a picture on Twitter a couple weeks ago. and everybody on the coaching staff just looks a little beaten down. It was kind of the way that season had gone. Could you have imagined at that point to where things just not going Northwest's way to where, I mean, cream the crop now?
Yeah, no, I mean, those times were tough, but I remember when Mac first got the job, and you could just tell how into it he was, how hard he worked, his passion for it. Like, I was always confident that we were going to get it to a high level. Now, 6-7 straight league titles, whatever it is, I don't know if anybody envisioned that, but I was confident that the program was going to get to a high level. Obviously, it had been at a high level before under Coach Tapmeyer, and you know, there had been a few rough seasons, but we remember those, and Coach Mack reminded me of that this year at times, so that, hey, it doesn't always start off great, but as long as you put the time in, get the right people, you can get it to that point. We, you know, you think about the team, just how many great people have been in the program. You know, we talk about the parents that support too. You know, we recruit parents as well. That's part of it when kids come on visits and how the kids act. The research, that's one thing I learned from Coach McCollum, was just how much he researched every kid. It wasn't just call the high school coach. It was call the high school coach, call the AAU coach, call the 10 coaches they played against during the year. You know, get as much information on a kid. So you know what you're getting, and I think that's been a big part of it. And then, you know, you look at just the culture. I always think of, you know, you talk about Joey Wittes's and Justin Pitts and those guys, but, you know, Dre Starzl, a kid that would be starting in a lot of other programs that has completely bought in, wants to get on the floor, continues to work, but also if he's not on the floor, I think of the Central Missouri game, he's calling out every set Central was running from the bench. I mean, Derek Lang, after a Saturday afternoon game, we had a little post-game deal. I came back to the office about 8 o'clock. Saturday night, he's in there getting shots in, full sweat, and that's a kid that didn't even play so in the game. And so, I mean, nowadays there's thousands of transfers every year, and I just think about those kids that continue to put the work in and buy into the selflessness, and that's why the program's where it's at.
Well, and, you know, top to bottom, for those guys to come in, and whether you know you're going to come in and start from the get-go, or you might come in, ride the bench for you know, 3 years, then finally get your opportunity. Finds a way year in, year out, gets the most out of each and every one of those kids. You know, like Kirk Finley was one that, you know, not many people might have thought of, but now he steps in, and even if he doesn't score any points, he's defending, he's grabbing rebounds and deflecting passes, and every little bit goes a long way.
Yeah, everybody just knows their role, and they embrace their role. I think that's the biggest thing on successful teams, and yeah, like you said, Kirk Finley, he's not going to blow you away when you watch him. He's going to back cut and finish and keep possessions alive. Offensive rebounding wise, he's going to defend. He's going to play hard. He's going to be a kid that brings it every day in practice. He's going to get it done in the classroom. You don't have to worry about him off the floor. Just across the board, kids like that.
Joey Wittes, MIAA Player of the Year a season ago, a good player for the team, but is it just a matter of kind of that senior class going and him saying, well, I guess this is my turn to step into that role?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, with transfers, a lot of times it takes that first year to kind of fully get acclimated. And we always say those kids are that much better in year number two. And obviously he was really talented coming from a high-level Division II school. But, yeah, he's been awesome. And I think, you know, what he brings to the table, obviously the work ethic, the character stuff, whenever they have a night where maybe they don't shoot it that well, which isn't very often, that he's a guy that can just go score, you know, whether it be a post-up or pick and pop or just putting his head down and driving. So he's a guy that when your offense may be struggling, that you just go get a bucket.
Northwest Missouri State men's basketball taking on Emporia State coming up tomorrow at noon. As a coach, and since you're not in Coach McCollum's shoes right now of the men's side and looking at that bracket, you can say honestly, do you look at it and say, I'd like to see this team here, then this matchup on through?
No, not really. I mean, I think that the minute you see a team upset another team that you're going to, anytime you let your guard down just for a little bit, it can be trouble. You know, I always think about coming into a game and you may see somebody, one of the other team's best players, that's out with an injury wise, and the natural reaction is, oh, they're out. Okay, we're going to be all right. And you don't want your team to feel that. So they know they're going to get everybody's best shot. And it's all about, obviously there's a scouting element to it, but it's all about just coming ready to play each and every game. And I think that's one thing for the program that we're trying to establish with our women's team too, and that we've always done even under Coach Tapmeyer, is, you know, when we have 5 a.m. morning workouts in the off season in the fall. When we come out of the locker room at 5 a.m., there's a high level of energy. If you went to a workout, you would think our guys are crazy or our girls are crazy. Like, why are they so excited? It's 5 a.m. But part of that is, if you can bring that energy at 5 a.m. in the fall, there's a good chance you're going to be ready to go February, March, whatever it may be. So I think just consistently having that energy, communication, getting yourself to a high level allows for that consistency.
It is a lot of fun to watch. And speaking of teams and programs that are ready night in, night out, I mean, those years of, well, first going to Minnesota State a couple years ago and upset them on their home floor and nearly get into the Elite Eight. Then the year after that, you go up to Augustana, you beat them in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Just kind of carries on as far as these are the best teams in the country. You should, you know, they're not supposed to be getting beat by the 4 seed, 5 seed, whatever. And Northwest Missouri State just found a way to do it.
Yeah, those were definitely fun times. You know, when you go into other people's places and try to be the spoiler. So obviously it's been a little bit different the last couple of years, which you want to host it at home and play in front of your own fans. But there is an added element of pressure on you when you're playing at home. But I'm excited. I think they're going to do big things and hopefully go 9-0 here.
Let's do it. Austin, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Austin Meyer, Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach, joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a time out. When we come back, John Coffey will be chatting with Greg Hansen here from Carson Sports Grill.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Craig Thompson of Albany. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at TriStateChryslerDodgeJeepRam.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Before we talk with Greg Hansen from the Hughes Fieldhouse on the Northwest Missouri State campus, we have another prize to hand out. Alexis Stroud is the winner of the prize here. So, Alexis, just see if you can find Jenny over to my left and pick up your prize again from the student body. So, again, Alexis Stroud is the winner on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As I mentioned, the Northwest Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, Greg Hansen, is with us. And Greg, your job is the Hughes Fieldhouse primarily, and you've been real busy this year with the inaugural year of this Hughes Fieldhouse. And from what I've been able to hear so far, just it's been getting rave reviews by everyone who's had a chance to be inside.
Well, John, that's absolutely correct. First, just thanks for having me. Great reviews we've been having. We've had 5 successful track meets. They've averaged over 1,000 people per day, filled our hotels here in Maryville. Eating establishments just love us, and it's a true community and Northwest event. We're averaging about 600 people through our classes, our athletics, and intramural sports. And so we're off and running. So we've been open about 26 weeks, you know, so back to October 12th when we had the dedication. So true excitement. It's fun to do, and it's we've got a lot of great things coming at us.
And I know there was a lot of anticipation about the Hughes Fieldhouse as people were able to watch that from the ground up go up over there on the west side of campus, and we're very anxious to step inside and see the finished product, and it really is kind of breathtaking when you go in there.
It is very, very breathtaking. asking, you know, a facility that's approximately 2.8 acres under roof to come in and look at such a massive facility that supports our community, Northwest Missouri and the region, and the different things you can do. One thing I always like to emphasize, we always want to remind ourselves of the activities that we're now doing in there. We just had a great conversation about basketball, as we're allowing those activities in Lampkin to continue on and move successfully at what we're doing in Hughes Fieldhouse, for example, of breaking 10 MIAA records. So a tremendous, tremendous facility.
Yeah, and it really is. And I think right now a lot of the discussion centers around the indoor track and field, just because the indoor season just completed at the Hughes Fieldhouse. And talk a little bit more about freeing up Lampkin here in just a little bit. But as you talk about the track and field, again, that's getting a lot of discussion right now, just because you've had a chance to hold a few of those meets. And when you talk about breaking records, there's been a talk about this being such a fast track. And we've talked with Brandon Masters a little bit about reasons for this. But what are some of the reasons that you see that we're getting the times that people are getting on this track?
It goes back to a variety of different things. I think one is from the early on discussion and then planning the facility of what this facility really wants to be at what level at the NCAA. As we've had these five track meets, we noticed, as you mentioned, the facility is, you know, top-notch, along with having an incredible amount of talent on our track. As we went through the five track meets and most recently the MIAA, there was a little chatter on Saturday afternoon, was our track really certified? Which it is. And digging into what your original question is, we have a Bynon type surface. There are other products out there on the market. They're all very good. Bynon was chosen for its flexibility, the different things we can do. It's very durable, but also it's a very hard surface, which is very reactive. So it's very fast. Another thing that attributes to it is the layout of the facilities. We have wider curves and shorter straights than our counterparts at Pitt State. So as the athletes run around the curves, it's easier for them to run. And if you look at these MIAA records, a lot of those are events that happen around the curve. So if you look at the track surface, you look out at the layout or big radius on the curves and put that together, that can attribute it. I'm not a scientist, so I can't prove it, but just in visiting with Coach Masters and looking at other facilities of the type of surface, and again, the layout, that those records have fallen, and we put those in the MIAA record book at Northwest Missouri, the Hughes Fieldhouse.
And I understand, too, that there are some people got out the yard stick, or the tape measure, I guess, to just double check on that last weekend.
Yeah, so Andy Peterson, you know, Saturday afternoon we did some quick texting and contacted our consultants and stuff, and you know, we have the certificate that it's, you know, it's certified.
And again, it's been just a great facility, and I think when you look at the success that both the men and women have had in there, and really in particular as far as a team goes with the Northwest men's indoor team and being nationally ranked and sending a lot of participants to the indoor national meet, that it really has to go back to having an opportunity to be very consistent in their workouts and working out throughout the entire season in the Hughes Fieldhouse.
And I think that's, you're exactly right, John, that, you know, between 1 p.m. and approximately 7 o'clock in the evening, the facility is dedicated to athletes, and that allows all our teams to come in. For example, the other day we had tennis, we had softball, we had baseball, and we had track, and later that evening we had some informal football activities and things like that. So all those athletes coming together and doing activities really supports, it allows them to be a true athlete, whether or not at 9 or 10 o'clock in the bottom of old Lampkin and the batting cages, that it just leads to success in creating that Northwest culture.
Yeah, I think the coaches and the athletes right now just wonder how they did it in the past at Lampkin, just as tight as that facility was, and it really fostered, though, I think, and still see it now, but the coaches working together to try to make it work for everybody. But that Lampkin got it used for a lot of time there, just with the limited space that it had.
And I think you're exactly right. When I was an undergrad and grad back here in the 80s, and you know, it was just, you would wonder how we did it all, and it's created such a culture and a winning atmosphere, and it's just fun to be around, and it's truly exciting for all of us.
Yeah, and you look at I know a lot of people felt going in with that facility that football was going to be the big, I guess, beneficiary of having that facility, and obviously they're going to benefit from it. But I think it's these other sports right now, and we're seeing the process of that, where they, some of the success they've had, where they're the ones that really are going to benefit from being able to have a place where they can practice in the off season.
I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, every day I see baseball and softball, and most recently, you know, the women's golf team, they're in there every day, and we look outside of what the conditions are on the field, and they're in there. They can throw approximately 300 feet, a full throw. They're doing live infields. They're in the batting cages, and again, all back at good times to practice and all that. So, and like you said, everybody works together. So it makes my job easy, Andy Peterson's job, that all these coaches work together and continue the success.
And we're talking with Greg Hansen, an assistant vice president of student affairs at Northwest Missouri State, about the Hughes Fieldhouse. We'll come back and continue to talk about the Hughes Fieldhouse and maybe some of the things coming up that folks may not know about. That's all coming up right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM Health offers 10 medical clinics and 35 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at ssmhealth.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from the Impact Interiors, led by Bearcat football alumnus Steve Coppinger. Impact Interiors is a full-service office furniture provider that aims to tackle jobs both big and small. For more information on furniture lines, installation, or designs, impactllc.biz.
Support for today's game comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company, with 7 stores throughout Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Since 1951, SureGrow's provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on their products is at 660-446-3376. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
We're back at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue to talk with Northwest Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs Greg Hansen about the Hughes Fieldhouse. And Greg, before the show, you said you had an announcement tonight that this will be the first that people heard about another event that's coming up at the Hughes Fieldhouse.
Yes, I received information, worked with Andy Peterson, some of our other athletic staff, that on Saturday, March 16th, we will have our first high school track meet. So we're really excited to announce that. That's going to be up and posted. So I know if you're listening out there, and a lot of the different high schools around the area, that gives them an opportunity to get inside and actually get some good times going and get their seasons pointed in the right direction. So we're happy to have all those high schools on campus and get them in Hughes Fieldhouse, which was part of the original concept, you know, for the region to bring these types of activities in. So Saturday, March 16th. So if you got any questions, you can contact the athletic department or us in campus recreation.
And I would imagine the high school track and field coaches will be real excited about that, just when you look outside right now. And obviously, I think right now is about the time they can begin practice for indoor or for their track and field season, but trying to get some things going with several feet of snow on the out there is going to be a little tough. So they're going to, I imagine this is going to be a great opportunity.
Yeah,
for those
so
teams.
You know, we're going to welcome everybody in and, you know, let them experience the facility because they're also part of it.
And from a recruiting standpoint, and not necessarily for track and field athletes, but there's going to be a lot of students on the high school level going to come in and compete at that facility and get a chance to see the campus that may not come to Northwest as an athlete, but would come as a student, and it would be an opportunity for them to just experience the campus a little bit by bringing them on.
You're exactly right, John, and you know, we see that every day. Just today was a visit day. Another thing, you know, we just don't do athletics and campus recreation. We had our career fair, our spring career fair in there today. We had approximately 500 students visit with approximately 165 different enterprises, companies, fellow school or area schools, so a great opportunity. So there's another example of what we're doing.
And what are some of the other ways that the community can take advantage of the Youth Fieldhouse?
One popular program we started early on was our community walking program from Missouri Parks and Rec. So between 6 a.m. and 1 p.m., if you have a membership at the community center, you know, you can walk at the community, walk at Hughes Fieldhouse. And we have approximately 30 to 35 daily walkers, so that's really exciting. Another thing we did with the community was December 26th through January 31st, we opened up the facility from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. so people could come and visit the community center, experience the turf. We thought that was really special. Another thing we got coming up that's really, really exciting is on Friday, April 12th, we're having a Hy-Vee Kids Fit program where we'll be bringing in approximately 400 third and fourth graders from Nottoway County. So we want every opportunity for those third and fourth graders in Nottoway County working with Hy-Vee, our PE program, Health Science and Wellness on campus, to come in and experience a healthy lifestyle between 9 a.m. and noon o'clock. And Hy-Vee will be working with us, great partnership, and providing a healthy meal. So there again, we're bringing 400 kids in Nottoway County to Hughes Fieldhouse.
And I think that's been a program that in the past has been done at Lampkin and at Bearcat Arena, but they haven't been able to bring that many, I think, in with that level of participants coming in. So, again, that Fieldhouse gives more opportunity for more schools to take part in that program.
Exactly right. And, you know, looking at the logistics and kind of some things I work at every day, it goes all the way down to where the buses park and, you know, being customer-friendly and using the south doors and getting everybody under, you know, one roof to provide a great experience.
What are some of the other things coming up that folks might want to know about with the Youth Fieldhouse?
So this, we talked about the big exciting news on Saturday, March 16th. We got, you know, the big track meet. We're going to be working with Maryville High School, so they're great partners first year going in together with that. Around March 30th, we'll have a soccer camp, so that's pretty special that on the weekends, allowing those things to happen. Something new going into Campus Rec, around April 1st, is not April Fool's joke, but we're going to be doing intramural kickball running for, you know, about 2 weeks in there. We talked about our Kids Fit. Saturday, April 13th, the football staff will be doing a youth clinic. So that's pretty exciting that we're starting to already see some football, you know, in the facility and things like that. Through the city's agreement, working with our Parks and Rec Department, we'll be starting up our Saturday soccer youth program, getting them in there and practice when it's open. Another thing we got, you know, looking out into the future, May 17th, 18th, and 19th, we have a soccer camp. So we're looking at different alternative things we can bring in. The tourism committee, which I serve on, is becoming very active now, and we're getting ready to go out and start recruiting different types of events. And just to refresh your memory, we also have a floor that we can cover the turf to do a trade show, something along those means. So we're moving into the next phase. As I mentioned earlier, we've been open for about 26 weeks, and we're starting to learn how to grow. But also we want to be very conscious as we move into this season, baseball, softball, how we can utilize that facility for rain delays, keeping the teams fresh when they're working the fields, getting them in, ready to go, and just kind of providing a higher quality of service for everybody we work with.
And you mentioned Bearcat football. Spring practice will be starting fairly soon with that. And, of course, they want to be outside as much as possible. But last year, I think they had kind of a rough spring and didn't. It was tough to get a lot of their practices in and accomplish what they wanted because of the weather. Now with the facility being built, if you have a bad day outside, this is really where this Bearcat football team will have a chance to fully utilize this facility.
And they've already taken advantage of that. Joe Quinlan, the strength conditioning coach, he has the young guys up there it's about 5:45 when they show up, and he gives them a really good workout on those days, and you know, they get a good workout. So that's already begun, and they're setting the stage hopefully for another successful year in Bearcat football for next fall.
All right, well, Greg, we really appreciate you being with us on the show here tonight, and it really sounds like the Youth Fieldhouse has been something that has opened up to rave reviews so far.
Thank you for having me.
And that's Greg Hansen with us, the Northwest Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs, who's joining us as we've been talking about the Youth Fieldhouse. We'll come back and talk about what we've got coming up tomorrow on KXCV KRNW concerning Bearcat basketball. That's coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Girl in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Electric Cooperative, who is committed to serving Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa residences with reliable and affordable power. For all electrical services, UECI.COOP.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler are proud supporters of Bearcat Athletics and the quality culture that is Northwest Missouri State University. More information on the Compass Dental Group is online at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Chad Townsend, Derek Schluter, and Maggie Wilson offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're joined by Matt Tritton. And, Matt, we got a busy day coming up tomorrow. It all starts with Bearcat basketball, the Northwest men's team in the quarterfinals of the MIAA tournament, as they will face Emporia State. Again, we mentioned earlier, Emporia State was a win over Northeastern State 72-68, and that's a noon tip-off. We'll be on the air at 11:40 with our pregame for that matchup, and that'll be a good game there, but also a special program. I think you talked a little bit about this with Austin a moment ago, too, but a reminder for our listeners about what we got coming up.
Yeah, so tomorrow after we wrap up the Bearcat basketball game in the postgame show with yourself and Matt Gorder, the Alumni Association is going to be having Bearcat gatherings after the game on Thursday, and then the Bearcats move on after the game on Saturday as well at the Quaff in downtown Kansas City. And so we're teaming up with the Alumni Association there to where we're going to be doing a special remote, a little broadcast, myself and Andy Peterson holding down the fort as yourself and Matt Gorder make your way up to the Quaff after postgame. And talk a little bit about this current Bearcat basketball team, a little bit about the past. I know Austin Meyer is going to be joining us, possibly with some other former players that are going to be around as well. And just kind of enjoying the whole atmosphere of what the MIAA tournament has to offer, what the NCAA tournament will hold, and really looking forward to it. We did this last year as well. And got some good stories out of Austin and out of Andy and some other former players. So I can only imagine what else we have to come. But Bob Mahofsky with the Alumni Association will be hopping on with us for a little bit. John McCarthy of Small College Basketball, and he is an authority on Division II college basketball here all over. He's going to be joining us for a little bit. He's been keeping up with the Bearcats and everybody nationally to kind of watch for as the NCAA tournament approaches. So a lot of really good insight to be coming from John McCarthy as well. Have yourself and Matt Gorder hop on as we get things a little bit deeper into the show and you guys make your way up and kind of get your thoughts as well. So it should be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to it. I know last year at the pregame gathering for the Alumni Association, it was packed in green and white there at the Quaff. So really looking forward to the same thing on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, it really seems like downtown Kansas City and Municipal Auditorium really turns into really Northwest Missouri State South, and in particular Municipal Auditorium kind of turns into Bearcat Arena South with the number of green and white you see in the crowd there. As they really come out and support Bearcat basketball.
They really do. I think the MIAA has done a better job of promoting itself around that Kansas City area as the years have gone on, and it's such a good college basketball town as a whole, but specifically Northwest Missouri State, from the folks from Maryville and St. Joseph going down there, the alumni that are already in Kansas City and the surrounding areas that actually come out and enjoy the basketball games and take in the alumni gatherings as well. The Bearcats really do a great job of representing at the MIAA tournament, so we're really looking forward to seeing a lot of old faces, a lot of folks that both of us went to school with, that we worked with, that we've seen throughout the years. It's kind of the time to get together and see them and talk one more time. So I know quite a few. One of our old engineers, Loaf, might be coming out. It'll be a good time, and hoping to see some good basketball as well.
All right, sounds good. We'll be back and wrap things up right after this from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry, serving Northwest Missouri. Dr. Ryan Losh provides patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information at 660-241-5001.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from Home by Sonya, one block east of 1st and Main in Maryville. Home by Sonya provides full-service interior styling, along with custom window coverings, flooring, furniture, and more. Information available at homebysonia.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. Learn more at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM Health offers 10 medical clinics and 35 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at ssmhealth.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe, as we wrap up another edition of the KXCV KRNW Coaches Show. And Matt Trenton, tomorrow, as we talked about, it'll be an exciting day down in Kansas City. And if you can't make it down there, just keep your dial tuned right here to 90.5 or 88.9.
Yeah, hoping for the Bearcats to come out. And you play a tough one against Missouri West, and you pulled out by two here at home. Then they went on the road and really beat up on the two seed in the MIAA tournament, Washburn. So you feel good about what they did in Topeka 1 week ago, and hopefully that carries over tomorrow.
Well, I have the broadcast of the men's game tomorrow as they face Emporia at noon. Our airtime, 11:40. With our pregame from Municipal Auditorium. Then stay tuned for our special broadcast afterwards as well from the co-op in downtown Kansas City. Thanks to everyone involved with our broadcast here at Carson Sports Grill. Behind the scenes, doing a good job, Jenny James, along with Kramer Sansom. For Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's.